Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show, and this is the Embrace Your Neurostyle series, and I'm very excited to have Michelle Hammer here today. Michelle, how are you?
I'm good, doctor. How you doing?
I'm good. So I love that. I love that voice. So tell us where you're calling in from.
Well, I'm in New York City, Queens to be exact, sitting in my little apartment, you know, with my view of a barbed wire fence.
Oh my goodness. Well, I am bringing sunshine and happiness and gratitude that you're on the show. And I want to let you know that my sort of attracting who I'm fortunate enough to talk with on the show, how I found you, I just found you on Instagram and I was blown away with everything about you, your creativity, your raising awareness about mental health. And I just love your vibe. And I really appreciate you and I just agreeing to do the show. So thank you.
Oh, no problem. I love being on podcasts. I have my own podcast, a bipolar schizophrenic podcast that I do with Gabe. And I just love just being on guesting on podcasts because you never know who you're going to meet, who you're going to talk to, and you never know where it's going to end up.
Exactly. I love it. It's like being in the moment of now. So you have been, can you just take us on your like mental health, wellness, stigma breaking, shame busting journey that you've been on and a little bit about just who you are in the universe?
Wow, I don't know. Where should I begin?
Well, you wrote your bio that, you know, you're a schizophrenic activist, but I mean, I just look at everyone as their name, like you're Michelle, and then how are you processing and perceiving the world? I mean, that's why, you know, I believe in diagnoses for helping, but I also believe that we want to have the appropriate understanding of our mental health. But then I like to say neurostyle, that we all process and perceive things in our own unique way, because whether someone has ADD, anxiety, depression, PTSD, bipolar, schizophrenia, alcoholism, you know, you're your own unique person on your own unique journey. So maybe you could start wherever part of your journey that you want to start with.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start from the beginning. I guess growing up, I was extremely paranoid, but I didn't know it at the time. And, you know, my mom kind of noticed something was up, but every time she tried to like bring me somewhere or get me help, I thought she was trying to, you know, sabotage me in some way or getting in my head or just really paranoid thoughts. So I go to college, I think I'm free of her. And then I, you know, a few weeks, everything's fine. And then I started thinking those same paranoid thoughts about my roommate. And then it just kind of clicked in my head that something's up. You know, my mom was right the whole time. Something is going on with me. I bring myself to the college health center. In about 10 minutes, they tell me that I'm bipolar. You need meds. Things didn't go so well.
In 10 minutes?
Pretty much. They went through a list. They went through like a checklist, basically. Like, how do you feel this? How do you feel this? Like that checklist? Like, really? Mm-hmm. Like, come on, people. But, you know, I ended up in the psych ward like 3 times during college, you know, fun times. But after college, I wasn't seeing the doctor I was seeing anymore. I was home back in Westchester, which is just right above the Bronx. And I was more open and honest with the doctor. And they were like, you're definitely schizophrenic. And I was like, okay, well, that sucks. You know, I was totally down. And then I went out to dinner with my best friends from college. And I kind of just like, you know, I'm nervous to say it. And I just go, guys, I found that I'm schizophrenic. And they seriously were like, isn't that what you had the whole time? That couldn't have been more obvious. And like, yeah, we told you that. So at that point, I realized if my best friends already knew I was schizophrenic and they didn't care, why do I care about any negative reactions I have in the future? Mm-hmm. And skip ahead a few years. I was working in, you know, corporate graphic web design, New York City, and things just couldn't work out because like my cognitive skills, just not understanding things, you know, schizophrenia is hard, but also, you know, you never really learn in college that, you know, you're going to be sitting behind a desk for 8 hours a day, you know, while not wearing sweatpants, of course, you know, so I decided to start my own business, and that's Schizophrenic NYC, and it just kind of turned into this whole thing, and I just wanted to, you know, tell everyone that I had schizophrenia in the most biggest, boldest way as possible, because I didn't like this whole having a secret thing, and I didn't like having a shame thing, and I'm like, I'm telling everyone. So I just started this whole company just to I was just telling sharing my story. And then it just came into, you know, everybody started sharing their stories as well. And it's like, sure, it's like, you know, don't be paranoid, you look great. What does that mean? People ask about it, you know, or it's not a delusion, you are incredible. Or there's also, you know, like define normal, or the, you know, I'm mentally ill and I don't kill. That gets a lot of reactions. Like, you are, I'm mentally ill and I don't kill in New York City, you can kind of get away with it. But when you like leave New York City, people are like, what are you wearing? You know, like, what is that? So it's just kind of like, turned into just a whole kind of a movement of just, you know, mental health awareness, mental illness, don't know shame, and just, you know, speak your truth. I mean, that's kind of an overused phrase, but just be yourself and don't feel shame because of it, because like shame is what society puts on us, you know, what is normal anyway? It's just something that there's a word and you can say what you think it means, but there's nothing really normal. You might meet somebody and be like, oh, they're the most normal person I've ever met. You hang out with them 10 more times, you're going to find out that they're weird in some way.
Well, you know? And I also think it also goes to perception. You know, no matter what age we are, race, gender, sexuality, psychiatric possible diagnoses, you know, we all perceive things in our own unique way. And I love the way that you literally are like beyond like embracing your neurostyle. You're like throwing it down with a flag saying, here I am. And I love your videos and I love how creative you are. Can you just talk about like your creativity and your mental wellness and like just more a deep dive of who you are? Like, well, first of all, what schizophrenia means to your perception for you. And then just all of like the elements of Michelle, the creator. You're super creative and you're really fun.
Well, which creative are you talking about exactly?
Well, I love your reels and I love when I see you packaging. So not only coming up with the phrases for your shirts and your products, but I love some of the artwork that you do. And I know that you're really shouting out to the universe and you're an activist and I love that. But there's this part of you, like, is it healing for you to do your art? Like, tell us just about your joy that you get in what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I get a lot of joy in what I'm doing because I get a lot of messages from people that say, like, I've really inspired them to be more open, or I've inspired them to accept themselves, or I've inspired them to, like, take their meds, or just made them feel more comfortable or more accepted. Yeah, and, like, the reels that I share, I just, when I get orders, I get really, really happy when I get orders.
So I can tell. By the way, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. That's what drew me to you, because energy draws. And I just thought, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm getting chills even talking about, like, I want to meet Michelle. Like, look at her. She's so happy.
Yeah, like, every time I get an order, I get ecstatic because I'm like, oh, my God, somebody bought something from me. You know, it's kind of like, somebody bought something from me? Oh, my God, that's amazing. I love it. It's cool, so cool. And people just do that. And it's, I guess it's almost a little bit imposter syndrome and a little bit of paranoia, but it's like, I didn't know anyone liked me that much, but I guess they did because they bought something from me. And the fact that I like sell artwork, that's like my actual artwork and people buy it, I'm like, wow, I'm like an artist that actually sells their art. That's the goal of so many different artists. And I do it. So it's like,
yes.
Whoa, like that is awesome. You know?
Yes.
It's just amazing. And I get to just express myself and just by doing that. And I usually have a pop-up shop when the weather is nice on 48th and 9th Avenue. And just being there with all my stuff and having a huge sign that says Schizophrenic NYC, don't be paranoid, you look great. Like, people stop all the time and they're like, what in the world is this? Or, you know, or that ever, I always start with, you know, oh, have you heard of Schizophrenic NYC? And when people say yes, I'm like, really? How? And then I go, oh, yeah, people have been like, I have been following you on Instagram for years. And I'm like, really? Okay. And then one person was like, oh, I go to USC. We watch your videos. You're famous there. I go, what? Okay. Ooh. So it's like so cool. You never know who you're going to meet. Sometimes you meet like people you don't want to meet. But a lot of times I get really awesome, awesome responses. And that's really cool. But of course, being in New York City, you never know who you're going to meet. And I'm also on a corner with a bike lane. And I see bikes almost get hit like all the time. They're just always almost getting hit right there. So it's just entertaining. You know, you never know.
So I have a question. Who's your support system in the universe? Who are your peeps who's your inner circle? And of course, any question I ask that you don't want to answer, please say no, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
But I always get interested in like, who's our support or what's our faith or what's our tribe or what inspires us?
Well, I have my girl, Carrie. She's my support. I have my best friend, Jenna. I've known her since college. She helped me through a lot of things because her brother is actually bipolar. So when I was diagnosed bipolar, she helped me a lot with that. And, you know, he's struggling and he's trying to get better, but you know, she never has good news about him, which is pretty sad, but you know, she's always been there for me. So, you know, my parents are there for me and, you know, but it's always harder to talk to my parents, I feel. And, you know, my friend Ari, and, you know, I'm also part of Fountain House in New York City. And Fountain House is a clubhouse for people with mental illness to, you know, just work at or just be like a club kind of a thing, different, like, what is it called? Just different units and stuff. So I have people there to talk to. And pretty much, you know, you never know if I'm having a bad day. Let me post a TikTok. You never know who's going to answer.
Right.
Things like that.
No, I just had a wonderful soul named Shay Mitchell, and she's been sober for 21 months. And right after I interviewed her on one of my series, I saw that she used her social media for really raising awareness that not every day is where she looks happy and it's easy to be sober, and that she was thinking about drinking that day, but then she decided not to. So then I thought I should just have her right back on the show and talk about that, because I think it's really powerful. You know, we can talk about our success stories, but moment to moment, there can be days where we're sad or it's just not working out. So do you use that? Do you integrate educating people in your podcast and in your reels, and like give us an idea of how you decide to do that?
I think I educate a lot of people in like the videos that I make, maybe on YouTube. A lot of people ask me a lot of different kinds of questions, like, when did this start? What are your delusions like? What are your hallucinations like? Like, does this happen every day? Things like that. And it's just like I'm constantly just answering questions for people because they're just so curious. A lot of people are like, you know, my loved one has schizophrenia and they won't take their meds. You know, like things like that are really hard to answer because, you know, they kind of have to realize it for themselves. You know, I for a while I was not very med compliant, but then I realized that when I was on my meds, I felt better and people liked me more and people noticed that I was in a better spot. So it's kind of just, it's hard to answer a lot of questions like that. And it's a lot of answering, you know, like, when did it really start? I don't really know when it started. I can't remember that far in the past. I try to remember things and I always say, you know, when I was like 13, my soccer coach was the first person to point out that I was talking to people that weren't there and I didn't even realize anything then. So, you know, I just try to educate people just through the question and answers that they just ask me.
Yes.
You know?
What are the tools in your toolbox from like a holistic health and medication or no medication? Like, what's your like recipe for success at this point in your life?
Well, I am on meds and I do think that is very important for me. I know everybody has their own journey and some meds work for them, some meds don't. So like I never really say what meds I'm on therefore, because you know, I don't want to recommend one, somebody takes it and it goes terrible for them. But the meds that I'm on work for me and it was a journey to get to where I am on that. So that took a while and I'm really glad that I finally did that so I could live my best life. And also just, you know, having good friends around me or good people to talk to when things aren't going well, I think that's also really important. And, you know, it also helps, you know, with like loneliness. You know, loneliness can breed depression, but if I have somebody around me to talk to, I find that to be very, very helpful.
Yeah, and I want to ask you, so whether someone has any schizophrenia or mental health issue or not, I feel like it's a really, there's so much sadness on planet Earth right now. It's like, I feel like Earth is like Armageddon. Like there's like yet another sad thing, or we're, you know, it's so sad when we hear anyone that does take their life for mental health reasons or hatred. So what's your, because I have like my own tips on like how I recommend, you know, checking in with yourself with how much media you can handle at any, and like which media or which people even. What's your solution to kind of mindfully getting through a day to day on Earth with regard to social media and media in general?
I found for social media that I had to unfollow people that triggered me. Honestly.
I love that.
I just had to unfollow people. That's really what I had to do.
I love that. I would say just because I say sometimes do not engage. I mean, we're not all like here and there's different seasons where different people might come back into our lives. So I think that's really fantastic. And then but you've done work with WebMD documentary videos and that was nominated for the Tribeca Award. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, a few years ago, I got an email from WebMD saying they were interested in possibly doing a video. They asked me a bunch of questions. I replied. They said, sounds great. They came to New York for 2 days. The first day, we were at the market together filming some stuff. And the second day, it was 12 hours. And I thought I was going to lose my mind.
Oh, my goodness.
We did lots of filming in my apartment. They put a fog machine. They put a light thing out the window. I thought there was like a bright light shining in from the window. Lord.
Like, and what not to do to someone.
I was like, is that the sun? What is that? They're like, oh, we put a light outside the window. I go, how did you get outside? They're like, we hopped the fence. I'm like, are you talking about the barbed wire fence? Did you hop the barbed wire fence? Because that's my view. And they're like, we're over there. Oh, I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. And then we did all this filming. We actually, like, they had me on the subway. We just took the subway in and then we took it back out. Because they were like, oh, if we take the subway, then how are we going to get to where we want to go? And I was like, we could just take it backwards. Just get this shot. It's funny because also, like, they wanted me on my way to the market, but I walk out of my apartment with, like,
they wanted to do a day in the life with you, right?
Yeah, but it was like I had a backpack on. Like, but I'm going to the market with my backpack on. Like, it was just funny. And then I walked the wrong way to the subway. And then I also, they wanted me on the second floor to come down steps. So, like, my friend came over and he was like, I thought you lived on the second floor because the video. I'm like, no, they just had me walk down the steps. But actually, it was a lot of fun. It was a really cool experience, like, this whole film crew thing. Because, like, at the market, I told, like, the market manager, I was like, Yoli, so I'm having a film crew come next week. And she's like, what? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, they're coming. And she's like, yeah, okay, sure. And then I get to the market, and Yoli's like, oh, the film crew's already going over there. I'm like, oh, see, I told you. You thought I was messing with you. I told you a film crew was coming. She thought I was lying to her.
I love that you actually just brought that up. Is it okay if we go there? Like,
go ahead.
So do you ever get super annoyed when people don't take you seriously because you do have schizophrenia?
Oh, like, yeah, all the time. I get my my mom's going to hate it if she listens to this one more time. But she tells me that I make up stories all the time. And I don't make up stories all the time. She rewrites the stories in her head and changes the endings all the time. And I have proof because one time when she did this, I had a friend that was there with me who kept saying, no, you said that. No, you said that. No, you said that. And they were like, really? 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 And I was like, finally, I have somebody backing me up.
Yes.
Yes.
One of my biggest pet peeves for, like, I'm just like a warrior chick for the people I know, anyone in the universe that has mental health challenges, diagnoses, whatever you want to say. I'm just being like really like non-stigmatizing. I'm fine with saying schizophrenia, bipolar, alcoholism. I'm not afraid of that. But what I don't like is when someone goes in the emergency room, like one of my patients, and they look at the meds they're on and then they don't take them as seriously. So I find that, I'm not saying it happens across the board because I know we're getting better overall with less stigma, but I don't like it when someone just, I remember when I was just doing straight emergency medicine before I decided to be a psychiatrist, oh, they have psych problems. And then they started like not taking them as seriously about their symptoms. And so I'm not saying that happens across the board, but I just thought I'd bring it up to you to see how you feel about it and if you see that it's changed over the years or if you feel like stigma's getting, you know, there's less stigma.
I think there's less stigma in the world, but I feel like I still get stigmatized sometimes, you know? I think sometimes people don't take me seriously all the time, but I feel like sometimes I have to prove myself because people say like, oh, I'm coming over, but I've never met the person before. They'll think like, you know, you're not what I expected. I'm like, what did you expect?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, what are the biggest myth busters that you feel like you've done and debunked for people? When you're having your highest level of mental stability with everything that you go through, in your perception, what are some of the biggest myth busters or the things you're working on in the shows that you're doing?
I think that people just think that people with schizophrenia are batshit crazy and that they can never live in society and never live any kind of normal life at all. And that is completely untrue. And that's just because, like, you'll hear on the 11 o'clock news, oh, this person with schizophrenia, you know, injured a group of people or a person. But what you'll never hear on the news is this person with schizophrenia woke up in the morning, had some breakfast, had some coffee, went to work, after work, maybe saw some friends. Then they went home, maybe had dinner, watched some TV and went to bed. And why is that? That's because crisis and mental illness is public while wellness and mental illness is private. What makes the news? Especially the 11 o'clock news. You know, the 11 o'clock news, the first 5 minutes is like every horrible thing that happened today.
Yes. Know? No, I agree with you. In fact, I was asked to look at a movie script just to kind of do some consulting. And it was an incredibly well-written script that was going into the mind of someone that was having paranoia and psychoses that had childhood trauma. And just it was really well done, right? Mm-hmm. But the part I didn't like and was really hard for me, and I told the director producer that it was like a trigger for me. I said, I am a champion for mental health and wellness and destigmatizing. I think you did a brilliant job of capturing like psychoses, but I also think we needed glimmers of wellness. I think what was missing from the film, I know you wanted to see the suffering part, but we see enough of like that scary part in the news and the media. I want, you know, this person has glimmers of wellness when they're thriving. And I said, I cannot be a part of anything that wouldn't include that or have that discussion. I think you're a brilliant writer. And then I sent her over. Do you know Ellen Sachs?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about your, like what you know about Ellen Sachs and educate people? Or do you want to just do it together?
I mean, I don't know that much about Ellen Sachs. I do know that she's just very, very smart and she has schizophrenia and she's done a TED Talk.
Yeah, and she's a USC full-blown law professor that is a champion just like you of like showing people that, yes, you can have this diagnosis, but yes, you can find your unique thrive. And I think that's what I want to see more of. That's one of my biggest passions with all the different types of shows and series I do, or the I want to be involved in things that are healing. We know that there's suffering in the world. That's mostly what we hear about. But it's really important to see the empowering, the success. And so I actually, when I watched your reels, I felt your excitement because that's the way my neurostyle is. I can feel feelings. You know how like we have different sensory awareness? Mm-hmm. And I was like, not only do you see your joy and you play the music and you do it fun and you can see like the order comes in and everything. I just like thought, wow, she is having fun. She's owning it. She's educating others. She's the real deal. And I'm like, I want to meet her. And so that's why I reached out to you. Cause I was like, yes, you know, you inspired me.
Oh, I'm so glad that I inspired you with my videos of folding t-shirts and putting them in bags.
Well, I looked more though. I
guess there's some order.
No, there's so more to you. So I looked at your site and I like some of your artwork and I thought just meet her first and then decide what you want to order. And then I thought just don't overdo it, Denise. Cause I know my neurostyle. I tend to get too excited. I'm like, calm down, Denise. Step one, reach out
chill,
to her.
Chill, Denise.
Step away from the excitement. So I thought, just get to meet Michelle, right? I also like that you have the pill bottles. Can you tell everyone just a little bit about all the products you have right now?
Oh, sure. You want me with the pill boxes? I can start with those.
Everything. Just like what you're doing. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mentioned those other t-shirts that I had before with the slogans on them. I also have t-shirts with the Rorschach test on them. And the whole thing is, you know, the Rorschach test is usually plain black, you know, but when a person with schizophrenia looks at that plain black test, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of look at it from a different perspective. So I decided to put my artwork in that test, make it all funky looking. So now everyone looks at it from a different perspective, getting you to think differently and starting that discussion, because only through discussion can you really try to reduce or end stigma. Yes. So I have those shirts as well. And then for the artwork, I sell prints, I sell canvases. And then on the pill boxes that I sell, I actually put my artwork on those too. And the whole thing of why I was like, dude, I need pill boxes is because I take like 7 medications, you know, and I could not find a pill box that could hold all of my daily meds without it looking like it was a pill box from my grandmother, you know, like mm-hmm. it was just like plastic and ugly. And it like, I was like, that's so whack. I'm going to make my own. And that's what I did. And I just love them. They're awesome. They're like my favorite things. So I've made the pill boxes and they're so cool. I've got stickers. I make leggings with my artwork. I've got some sweatshirts and stuff. And some posters. I'm looking around the room right now just to see what I have. I make some coasters. I have mugs. I've got mugs galore. Totes. Got a lot of totes. You know, whatever you need. And necklaces. I started making necklaces with my artwork in them too, which I think are really, really funky.
I like your necklaces. Really cool.
Yeah, because you can look at them and they just keep your eye moving. Because that's the whole thing with my artwork. It just keeps your eye moving. Because the whole thing was I started my artwork. I went to Walmart because I was working at a camp.
When did you start your artwork?
I've always been an artist and I went to school for graphic and web design. But one summer I grabbed a sketchbook and a magic markers, and I just started doodling. And I was doodling through, like, you know, when my brain was just going too fast, I just decided to turn it into the pen on the paper. And I just drew all these really intricate designs. At the end of the summer, I was full of a notebook of intricate designs. I put them all on the computer, knowing Photoshop and graphic design. I was layering, I was doing this, I was doing that. And then it just turned into really funky looking stuff. And that's just how I did it. I had my own solo art show at my college with my original artwork that I did using that. And I've been just going with the style ever since. And it's pretty funky. It's pretty weird. And I kind of like it. And like I said before, people buy it, which is like the most awesome thing.
Yes. Because I just want to say something. When I buy artwork and of any type, it's like sacred. It's like you're buying a piece of someone's soul, like their creation in that moment. It's like capturing the window in that, and then something usually inspires you and like makes you happy about it, or it makes you feel understood. So what I love about art in all different forms, whether it's what you're talking about or music or poems or just even a creative angle of doing a show, I love that. Like, it's only in that moment. It's like, it reminds you. Like, I like the way you said that the art moves and it makes you think. So it's like really also creating the discussions, your artwork, awareness of perception, that we really do process and perceive things in our own unique way, no matter what, if you have a diagnosis or not. It doesn't. And like, I love that we have Western medicine. I'm a Western medicine trained doctor, but I also bridge holistic health, intuition. I believe that some of the most creative souls on the planet have ADD, anxiety, depression, schizophrenia. And then it's like, well, how do you live on planet Earth? And then you have to ask yourself, what are your own tools in the toolbox for your best day? It's like kind of that simple. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I mean, whatever it takes to get you through the day, whatever you need, whatever it does, if it's drawing in a notebook or if it's just writing things down, right? Like if you like to write or if you like to take photos, any kind of self-expression, whatever it goes for, whatever makes you happy, whatever's your zen, then just do it, you know?
Yeah, no. So I have a question. Can you tell us a little bit about your podcast right now?
Sure.
I think, are you doing 10 episodes?
Yeah. Right now, so a few years ago, me and Gabe Howard had a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast. And then we got in a fight because, you know, bipolar and a schizophrenic surprisingly got into a fight. You know,
oh my God, you're so funny. Shocking. I felt like you were about to slip, you know, like, you know, when a bipolar walks along the street, they meet a schizophrenic. I thought you were going to turn this into like a joke. So keep going.
No. So yeah. And then we decided to start it again. And I was like, why don't we less pressure? Let's do 10 episodes. And so me and Gabe Howard, we have a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast. It's technically season 2, and we have 10 episodes, and I forget what number we're on coming out now. Maybe number 6 is dropping on Tuesdays at 6 a.m. He likes to put them out at 6 a.m. I don't really know why. That's not my deal. I just, like, arrive and talk to him. He's a funny-looking man, you know, big, giant ginger man. That's what I call him. And we just talk about we come up with a topic and then we just have ridiculous discussions about it. He tries to keep me in line and it just never works. I'm just always going off on crazy tangents and all this stuff. And he's like, all right, so what do we think about that? Yeah. And I'm, you know, it's funny. And he gets a lot of emails. A lot of them are like, you're mean to Michelle. It's really, really, really funny.
So it sounds like you guys have like a really cool yin and yang chemistry. That makes it fun to listen to. It's like, okay, what are these two up to now? How are, like, did you guys start off the series saying, hey, we had to take a break because we were like annoyed with each other or something?
We just kind of started off saying that we're back. We didn't say that.
Perfect.
I think anyone listening to the last few episodes of the original would be like, I'm not surprised.
But you know what I love? The resiliency. Because you guys are like a walking, breathing example. Like, you know, I don't know what his story is. Maybe you could tell us a little bit. Like, his thrive plus your thrive equals infinite. But then also in life, there's times where we take breaks from people. Then we go at it again and we give our, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's life. It's not perfect.
Yeah. Nothing is perfect. Gabe is far from perfect, I would say.
Oh my goodness. Hi, Gabe. Well, I'll have to have you on the show so you can, like, we can balance out the discussion.
Oh, you should totally have Gabe on this show. That would be fun. Funny.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, seriously. That would be really cool. Okay. So I wanted to make sure, because, you know, I have to tell you, can I share a story about my first time in residency with someone that had schizophrenia?
Go ahead.
Yeah. And I learned so much. Well, she was actually, you know, technically vacillated between schizophrenia and schizoaffective. I'm not really into the whole DSM. I know we have to have science and we need to have check boxes, but I just look at people's souls. So I would never say their name, but they were my exact same age. I was starting out at Emory University doing my adult psychiatry. And this amazing soul literally, truly, truly, truly believed that she was Janet Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. And when she was not on her meds, she really, really, like, it was like full on Janet. And so the way
was she singing?
Yes. She was singing. She was dressed up. She was so fun. And like, she called me like her, like the blue eyed angel. I mean, we had a whole vibe going. And that was a time when there was a bit longer of hospitalizations. And so I literally like embraced the fact that she loved Janet so much. But then it was like, well, where's her, like her real name? Where does Janet start and where does she begin? And how does that even happen? And so unfortunately, this is maybe educating to the world. A lot of times when people are having paranoia or delusions, if they're not a danger to themselves or others, it's like the most tricky time to get someone to seek help because they're often so fixed in that belief system. And so unfortunately it took her kind of getting agitated or angry to have what's an as needed med on the psych ward, which some of that was just really hard for me. But then when I saw that it actually helped people and she came back to her, the best reality that she could experience in this lifetime. And then she and I just had trust because at that time, you know, I just held space for her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really knew why she loved Janet Jackson. I would play Uno with her and she was really smart. And then she and I built such a rapport that I was like then the only one that she started to trust, which was a little overwhelming at times because I wanted her to trust some of the nurses. So then she did. And then she did eventually get her unique thrive, which did include some medicine and stuff, and she did stay on it. But there was also some sad things that happened that I don't even want to share. Like there was a time when she got really ill with something and she was off her meds, and how do I want to put this? It was just an honor knowing her because she felt safe telling me her construct of the world. And then I was able to relate to her human to human. And still, of course, I always believe in the least amount of meds or no meds, but sometimes meds are the tool that works. And so I feel really fortunate that she was one of the first people that I ever got to work with that was struggling with some delusions and some paranoia. And I learned so much from her. But I think a lot of people don't know how to talk about it. You know, I still think we've got a long way to go. What do you think? What do you think of that story, or what do you have any thoughts?
I mean, I think that's a pretty interesting story. I've never witnessed anyone straight up like that I was aware of, but I do think it's interesting. Growing up, I wanted to be Buffy the Vampire Slayer so much. Sometimes I would be like, if it's real, I would know. That's why it has to be fake. Because if it was real, I would be the Slayer. Mm. So I kind of knew it wasn't real, mm-hmm. but I wanted it to be real. But because I was like, if it's real, I'm definitely the Slayer. But yes. Am I the Slayer? But I don't know.
So there's such different levels of.
Yeah.
By the way, if there's anything I'm saying that seems, because I don't know,
it's
like my first time meeting you. Like, because no matter what our neurostyle is, we could trigger one another. But like, I also had someone that had such severe OCD with schizophrenia. And I just got to know his construct and thought construct. And then I also had someone that had different trauma, you know? So I think the other thing for people to remember, maybe you could speak on this, is that there's genetics, you know, sometimes there's different family history of mental health challenges. And then there's times when there's trauma that can trigger. I mean, it's not all created equal when diagnoses appear. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, you don't really know when a diagnosis is going to appear. I know my great-grandmother, from what I know about her, my grandmother was born on the kitchen table. And then right after that, her mom was committed to a psychiatric center in Long Island and lived there for the rest of her life. Hmm. So who knows what happened to her there? Because that was like in the 1930s.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then my dad has a cousin that has schizophrenia, and she lives in Coney Island by herself with five cats. She's the sweetest woman ever, but yeah, she's special in some way. She's interesting, to say the least. So, I mean, I have it in my family, but there's a lot of family that I don't really know of. There's been, like, back in the day, there was fights with these people, plus everybody was running from Hitler, so who knows what happened in the old country, really? Who really knows? So that's what I know about my family. I guess it's genetic in some way. Skipped a bunch of generations and then hit me. So that could have been what happened. I don't know if there was head trauma. I did have a concussion. Head trauma plus genetic, but I don't know if that's what did it. I don't exactly know. So I don't know what to think. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Like, and also, can I just ask you, what's like the highest level of compassion or ways you would want the world to view mental, you know, did you notice I don't even like to say the word illness? Have you noticed that about me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just say mental illness because I just like to get people from that illness state. I'm not afraid. I mean, I'm a doctor on the front lines. You know what I'm saying? Like I had a bunch of people around the holidays that wanted to leave the planet. And I say leave the planet instead of suicide. For me, in order to be on the front lines, like interfacing with these like realities, I have to stay in the place of hope and gratitude. And I know how to interact, but how would you want, like, I know you're doing it with your reels, your shows, like you're just living it. But what would be the compassionate like vision you would have for humanity and how they start to view mental health in a different way?
I just want people to view mental health that it's not dangerous. You know, you say that word schizophrenia and they just think danger, 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 or just unstable. You're dangerous, you know, when you just say things like that. It's just stop thinking about that everyone with a mental illness is dangerous, because then people that get diagnosed will then think, oh, people think I'm dangerous. Or am I a dangerous person? Just danger just has to be gone. You're not dangerous. And you're not like, don't like let like the stigma from society get in the way of living your best life. And don't let self-stigma shame you into thinking you can't achieve your dreams. You can be what you want to be. You can do what you want to do. You might have to adjust some things. You might have to change the goals you originally had to different goals, but you can still live a good, fulfilling life. And don't let people tell you that you can't. You are still you. You are not what society thinks of you. You are not what the news makes it out to be. You're not what these movies make it seem like it is. You still control your own destiny. And if you want to live that healthy, great lifestyle that you see other people with mental illness living, you might have to work at it, but you can get there. I like to say that getting diagnosed with schizophrenia was the best thing that ever happened to me, because then it got me the right treatment.
Can I just be honest with you? I don't know you, and I know that now you're going to get to know who I am. I just had tears of compassion and like joy for your voice.
Oh, thank you so much.
Like, go, Michelle, go.
Oh, thank you. Fuck yes.
Yes. We're using a little profanity here. We're throwing it down.
Yeah,
because you're basically saying once you understood who you are and like the element, the schizophrenia diagnosis did help, but then you don't have to, like, you're doing a shout out to the world saying schizophrenic NYC, but people can live, and like Ellen Sachs, you know, she's living her way with schizophrenia, you know?
Yeah.
So people can do what they want and they can thrive. And I think knowledge is power. And I would love to see, can you imagine if we had like a news section where every win of the day of someone who overcame their mental health or their PTSD, they had a panic attack, but they made it through the meeting, or, oh my God, their ADD, they overcame and they kicked ass on the test today, right? I'll use a little less profanity. I got to rein it in. But I feel so powerful about the wellness aspect of taking people from the crisis and into the thrive, knowing that they're suffering, but you can use that energy, get knowledge, and do something with it. And that is exactly what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank
you. It's like, wow. So yeah. I'm going to go to your site.
There should just be news called wins.
Yes.
Like just wins of the day. Just wins.
Yes.
You know, because the news loves to tell you all the bad.
Yes.
Or that like, or like the nightly news, like they tell you all the bad all week, and then they leave that like 10 minutes of the Friday show for the one good story of the week.
Yes.
Like, come on, nightly news.
Yes. Well, that's one of the reasons why I started a space called Ascension Media. I haven't even opened up a bank account for it because it's stuff that when I do in the media, but it's to set that sacred intention, whether it's through this Embrace Your Neurostyle, Creative Minds, because I mean, you're a creative mind as well. I mean, we're multidimensional human beings, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just, for the sake of people's attention span, we're going to rein this in, but I am excited to build a relationship with you over time.
Totally.
Where I can do whatever I can do with my presence and your presence to just talk about mental health in new ways. And can I ask you, what do you think of the word neurostyle?
Sounds cool to me. I like it.
Because we all have a neurostyle. We all process things. So I'm not against, I think diagnoses are helpful, but if someone doesn't have a diagnosis, like I told you before we got on, I said, I think I'm a little hypomanic. I think I have some focus. I think I don't have any diagnoses, but I have a style. And it doesn't mean that someone, you know, some people, it is really serious. There are people who need to go and see a doctor, and meds can be helpful, but there's other exercise, fitness, nutrition. You know, people get well in their own unique way. And it sounds like you're a champion of that too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You got to put in the work to then get better, you know? You can't just sit on your couch all day and just hope that, you know, the world or you'll get better, you know?
Absolutely. You got to
be a little proactive there. You got to be a little proactive if you want something to happen.
Yeah, so can you tell, is there anything else you wanted to discuss that we haven't covered in this first time meeting?
I think we covered it. I think we got everything.
Okay, good. So I'm smiling. I'm grateful. So can you tell everyone where they can find you?
Yes. Well, you can check out my website, schizophrenic.nyc. Instagram is also schizophrenic.nyc. And TikTok is also schizophrenic.nyc. But Twitter is schizophrenicny because the C was too long. Facebook's schizophrenicnyc.
What's Twitter?
Twitter is schizophrenicny. And Facebook is SchizophrenicNYC.
Everyone, that was Michelle Hammer. I'm going to put the links into all the ways we can reach her. And if her mic comes back on, we can let her say goodbye. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. Okay, just finish up letting everyone know how they can reach you.
Okay, you can find me at Twitter, SchizophrenicNY, and you can find me at youtube.com/SchizophrenicNYC. And I think that's it.
Thank you so much. Okay, have a great week, everyone. And I love it. I love the idea of the wins. So let's put that out in the universe, ways we can get more wins out. Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.